We've been in Ecclesiastes the past couple Sundays. And there's a lot more that I could probably speak on. But my main attempts, my main efforts, were to try and tie into what he really wanted to tell us. What he could really speak to us, you know, in our weeks when we have water coming through door seams and when we have, you know, all sorts of different things going on in our lives. We have several different layaways in the airport. I heard about that from Don this morning. And, you know, we have concerns about our teeth. We have all these things, not to tie into the same message that I preached last Sunday, but they all do flow together into one point. And that's what we're going to highlight on today. I'm going to open up my notes before I get too far ahead of myself. You know, someone wise once said that the best thing about having rules is knowing how to break them. I am not exactly on script, but it seems that the work of the Holy Spirit, when you get up here, it changes the way that you present things. And so, but, you know, over the past couple Sundays, the first message we talked about man's pursuits, man's hopes and dreams and goals and all the different things you hear about from a day-to-day basis. People say, oh, if I could just do this, or, oh, if I could just do that, and, oh, I'm right on my way. Pretty soon I will have everything settled. And then next week you hear, well, yeah, that fell apart. And we talked about just how meaningless that can be apart from God. And then we talked about when we approach God. Okay, so let's say we value God and we go before God and we go before God with so many things on our minds and on our hearts and coming out of our mouth that we don't spend enough time hearing what he has to say back to us. And I'm hearing those walls. And it seems that there's still something at the heart of the book of Ecclesiastes. And you're going to find it right at the very end. You have a scripture reference there, but I'm going to start with verse 6 in chapter 12, just to kind of set the tone, because he's just gotten done explaining, before all this stuff happens to you, before you reach the end of your life, he says, and this is how the Amplified, so some of this is elaborated on again. Remember your Creator earnestly now, before the silver cord of life is snapped apart, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the whole circulatory system, the blood ceases to function. It says, remember your Creator earnestly. That was the emphasis in the text, in the Hebrew. And then we'll tie in with the message, the actual passage. It says, and furthermore, because the preacher was wise, he, Solomon, still taught the people knowledge. And he pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought acceptable words, even to write down rightly words of truth or correct sentiment. The words of the wise are like prodding goads, and firmly fixed in the mind like nails are collected sayings, which are given as proceeding from one shepherd. But about going further than the words given by the shepherd, my son, be warned of making many books. There is no end. So do not believe everything you read. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. All has been heard. The end of the matter is fear God. Revere, worship him, knowing that he is. And keep his commandments. For this is the whole of man, the full original purpose of his creation. The object of God's providence, the root of character, the foundation of all happiness, the adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances and circumstances under the sun. That was elaboration, if you're following along. And the whole duty of every man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. that's a pretty serious tone, isn't it? Before life slipped through his fingers, before all these things going, he said the silver cord is snapped. And I had to go to the Amplified because I was just going, silver cord? Where is that? It's just an example of life. Before all this stuff is done, and he talks about, you know, in the days of your youth, when you're still able to make a lot of these decisions, and in the days of your later youth. And I say that very, very carefully. He says, revere God. Come before God. And we know that, you know, everything apart from him is meaningless, and going before him, we need to listen. But more than that, it says, fear God. Revere and worship him. Worshiping him, knowing that he is, and keep his commandments. But we've heard this one before. We've heard it. As a child, anytime I was given a condition, you know, you can have this if you do this. If you clean your room, you can have this. Or if you, I'm not trying to spoil the things for John over there. I'm sure they've already learned this lesson, but, you know, it's not like that in the text. It doesn't seem like that. And this is where rest really comes in. You see, we seem to have this impression that serving God is this arduous task, this thing that we just drag it along and drag ourselves to church and we just go there. And we go home, and it has such a negative connotation, especially if you do it day after day. And I can't speak for all the leaders here, but I'm sure in their own humanity, bless them for coming up here and doing what they do. But sometimes we can get pretty overwhelmed going before God, and it's almost like, all right, fine, I'll clean my room. Fine, I'll do this. Okay, I'll do that. Get back in the swing of things. But I think there's a little something more to what Solomon is speaking to. And so I wrote down in my notes, I think we overlook these as a prison sentence rather than a privilege. We don't look at it as a place where we can find rest or where we can find renewal or approach the throne of grace of God and actually lay down our cares and our concerns and our desires. You see, Solomon throughout this whole book keeps saying that, you know, enjoy the fruits of your labors, enjoy these different things that you do because they are too from the hand of God. The key is not to lose track of God. That's what we come here for. We come here to access to rest, for renewal, to lay our prayers and our concerns on the altar, to have people anoint you with oil and pray for you and encourage you and build you up. That's what I think he's speaking to in terms of fearing God and following his commandments. There's an awful lot more to it than that. But anyway, remember Bruce from last Sunday? Yeah. The guy who ran off with his mouth and then realized, oh my goodness, I actually do have God's powers. And there's a funny scene with him imitating Clint Eastwood and some other funny things that he hit on in that movie. And I hope for those who haven't seen it, I'm not ruining it too much, but we're going to fast forward a little bit. I've got a clip ready. Bruce has broken up with his girlfriend who lives with him. And it's a different scene. It's a newer movie. But this is her best friend leaving after she has packed up all of her best friend's stuff at Bruce's apartment. And Bruce has since had kind of a change of heart. So this is their conversation right as she's leaving. And we're going to follow it through for a little while.
You know what I do every night before I go to bed? tuck my kids in, maybe have a scoop of ice cream and watch Conan. You know what Grace does? She prays. Most of the time for you.
Pray a lot. Find Grace and Bruce. Dear God, please help Bruce find himself, find contentment, find you. Dear God, please help Bruce. He seems to be struggling. Dear God, give Bruce strength. Dear God, bless Bruce. Bruce, Bruce, Bruce. It's her. Sandy, it's her. She's logging on. She's praying right now.
Kneel down in the middle of a highway and live to talk about it, son.
But why? Why now?
Bruce, you have the divine spark. You have the gift for bringing joy and laughter to the world. I know. I created you.
Quit bragging.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's the spark. I want you to pray, son. Go ahead. Use them.
Lord, feed the hungry and bring peace to all of mankind. How's that?
Great. If you want to be Miss America. What do you really care about?
Grace.
Grace. You want her back?
No. I want her to be happy. No matter what that means, I want her to find someone. All the love she deserved from me. I want her to meet someone. We'll see her always as I do now.
Through your eyes. Now that's a prayer.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
It's good.
It's good. I'm gonna get right on it.
That didn't feel very good. Got a rhythm.
All right, I got a pulse.
All right, let's let him up.
Yeah, get the backboard and brace. Yep.
Bruce?
Welcome back. You're lucky to be alive, son. Someone up there must like you.
I hear all that stuff winds up in a warehouse somewhere. God, I swear I wanted to be mad at you forever.
Now you're just showing off.
Give a few seconds for the air to clear. I watched that a few times, you know, just to make sure I wanted to use that clip. There is some material in that movie that's not so great, but there's definitely some material in there that's really to the heart of what it means to come before God, what it means to love one another. And I don't know about you, but something like a scene like that means, I mean, if that were my life, I'm sure you can think of relationships that mean much more to you than anything else on this earth that can be provided for you. And, you know, Grace says, I don't know what I would have done. And it's pretty cliche, but it's the real truth, isn't it? We don't really know what would happen. If we lose those individuals that we see every day, it's pretty easy to overlook that. And the busyness of our lives and all these different things, you know. You know, regardless, I can even use the water example. You know, if it wasn't for my roommate, that would have been a very, very frustrating moment for me. But afterwards, we were okay. We could laugh at it. We could move on and deal with the stains in the carpet and, you know. Because ultimately, you know, that building, yeah, it's old, but it was built at one point. That was one of the many things that Solomon mentioned. He also mentioned having, you know, multiple wives and all these servants and all these musicians and all these different things. But I'm sure there's still something deeper. There's still something that we care about even more so. And those are from the hand of God. So, Bruce has finally accepted that in all his pursuits, he has missed the relationships that's meant most to him. Both God and Grace both mean a lot to him. Finally, we see Bruce openly accept God's guidance, counsel, and love, tough as it may be. I don't know about you, but it really changes the dynamic to think about meeting God face to face and having him say, I want you to pray. That scene was awkward for me. It still is. Because it's so easy for us to sit here and picture him somewhere far off, somewhere far and distant. But that's exactly where he is. He's right there. He's listening to you. He knows the concerns that are on your heart. I mean, he talks a lot with God about grace, you know, throughout, and the circumstances of the breakup are completely, I'm leaving that one out, but throughout everything, Bruce is so busy, you know, trying to set all the things right that he believes are wrong in his life. He ends up with the anchor position, but then the world that he was trying to impress and win over was basically going down the toilet at the same time. The first time he got up there for this position that he wanted. I almost played that clip, but there's a little bit of profanity and there's a little bit of things in there that, well, I mean, if you looked outside and you saw, you know, burning things and riots and everything else, there might be some interesting things floating in the air. But long story short, Bruce has finally come before God. He finally surrenders and gets hit by a semi. But he finally surrenders, and he finally starts seeing what's really meaningful in his life. And here is Solomon at the end of his life saying, don't wait till it's too late to realize what's meaningful, to find the real wealth and the real treasure of this world. So I'm going to revisit a few points that he makes just to kind of solidify that passage. But anyway, the first point is Solomon warns us to find wisdom apart from what he has shared. Bruce shows us that wisdom is no match for God's insight, saying, now you're just showing off. There's lots of advice to find from lots of books to be written, but God has a better handle on it than we ever will. And Solomon was considered to be the wisest man to have lived. I mean, kingdoms came and flocked to him and listened to him. Queen of Sheba and one of his many wives was also from Egypt, and that was huge. But all these things, after he had achieved all these things, he still said two are better than one. And a three-bound cord is not easily broken. And when I read three-bound, I thought, me, others, and God. A three-bound cord is not easily broken. And God's wisdom is there to nudge us in the right direction. And that's what it means by the goad. And I'll admit, I really didn't know what goad meant, so I had to look it up a little bit further. And it was the idea of a cattle prod. A shepherd has a staff and it's guiding sheep to go one direction or the other because they kind of have a mind of their own, if you've ever seen them. We had a missionary at Warner that told us a story when he went to Africa and he saw some shepherds. And they were not gentle and caring and kind individuals. They took those sheep and they put them right in line when they needed to. And that goad sometimes doesn't feel that great to be nudged in that direction. But we know that, tying in with the cleaning in the room, we feel a lot better when that room is clean. I can vouch for this after going through college and post-college. It feels a lot better to have a clean room. I think parents and God, for that matter, has a lot more insight into it than we do. So Solomon warns us to find wisdom, or not to find that wisdom apart from what he has shared. One day we will face God and be held accountable for every deed. Now notice I skipped to the end, but I think that that's really important. That's a step we miss a lot. We know that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day we will come before God, and he knows everything that's going on. He knows the numbers of the hairs that are on your head. Every tear is in his ledger. That's from Psalms. He knows everything that's going on in your life. And can you imagine the file folder from, you know, Pastor Frank shared with me that file folder is probably filled with all the praises, is only filled with the praises of God, if we simply give it over to God. It doesn't have to be filled with those nasty words. Because we find that forgiveness and we are drawn close to God through all that. But one day, we will still have to go before Him. You know, the song says, I can only imagine when that day comes. I don't think Bruce quite imagined being hit by a truck and meeting God that way. But then again, he already met God, so he kind of cheated a little bit. Or God cheated, or I don't know. I don't think he pictured that, but he did have to account for it. He said, you know, can't kneel on a highway and expect to live to tell the tale. You know, so one day we will be held accountable. We are told that God will judge every deed, whether good or evil. Those of us that God has saved will have a clean slate that day. I don't know about you, but that's good news. Because there is plenty of things that I could list. Plenty of things we could all list. Things that hold us apart from God. But one day we'll come before Him. So, finally, Solomon urges us to fear God and follow His commandments. What does it mean to fear God? I want you to think for a second. Now, Pastor Frank mentioned, you know, He's there to ease our fears when we pray. But here we have this fear God. And, you know, there's a healthy respect of God. I mean, you know, if he were to all of a sudden give you the power that He possesses in one small city, which Bruce Almighty is only, He's only given power over the city He lives in, not the whole world. Because God actually says, I didn't want to give you more than you could handle. But even, it's easy to have a healthy respect of Him when all of a sudden you're talking with Him and then you're on top of Mount Everest and you're looking down and you're seeing just everything that God has shaped. But I think the term that I focus on when I see fear God is revere God. Come before Him. Be in awe of Him. The song we sang, I stand in awe of You. You are God in heaven, here am I on earth. That's right out of Ecclesiastes, the same book. Solomon says, have a healthy respect for God. Realize He is in heaven and that He sees all. And then it says, follow His commandments. And we think of commandments as this list of things that we've got to do, right? It's not just for His benefit. It's not just for Him. It's for our benefit, because He sees all. He knows what we're concerned about. He knows what we're going to ask before we even ask Him. That's what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. So those commandments, they're there for our benefit as well. And I'll show you how that ties in with Bruce in just a second. But aside from just praying to God, according to the commandment, there's one other thing that Bruce does. He takes the focus off of himself. And he realizes how much he loves grace. And he realizes that's from God. And God, I love that scene because at first he has that vague, you know, Miss America prayer that we all hear, you know, it's very polite and doesn't have to address anything that's on our plate, you know. And we all kind of stagger a little bit, but eventually God looks into his eyes and says, come on, what do you really care about? What is it that's on your mind? And he says, grace. And he talks about how he wants her to be happy. He loves her so much that even if it doesn't involve him, he wants somebody else in her life that will. That's the type of love. You know, we're told in the scriptures, greater love have no more than this, that a man lay down his life for another, for his friend. That's the kind of love that I think we need to focus on a little bit. Love is a nice buzzword, isn't it? I'm moving on into the conclusion, actually. Love is a nice buzzword. We use love all the time. I just love this cup of coffee. In fact, I said that this morning because I was lacking some sleep. But when I searched into this passage I'm about to share with you, the love that was used all the way through was agape, was unconditional love, the type of love that God has for us, type of love that Morgan Freeman plays God, the type of love that that God's character in that movie has for Bruce is one of extreme patience. It's one of just out of this world understanding of our lives. And it's one where he is just waiting, just yearning to draw you closer to him, to have that relationship. You read through the prophets where he says, "You'll be my people and I will be your God." That meant a whole lot more at that point than I think we use the term love today. Because when he says, "I will be your God," that means he'll take care of all their needs, even down to whether their crops are going to yield, or whether they're going to have water, whether they're going to be able to have a child. He says, "I will be your God, and you will be my people." So I'm going to read out of Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Now, I'm reading out of the Message, so it's probably going to be a bit different. It is a paraphrase. But I want you to just listen to the way it's phrased here. And we know this passage pretty well, but when the Pharisees heard how he had bested the Sadducees, they gathered their forces for an assault. One of their religious scholars spoke to them, posing a question they hoped would show him up. "Teacher, which command in God's law is the most important?" Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list, but there is a second to set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are pegs. Everything in God's law and prophets hang on them." That's the commandment that he's talking about. It's for our benefit just as much as for other people, because as much as we love ourselves, we are to love another. Imagine that in all the circumstances that Solomon manages to talk about. The buildings, the people. You know, you go to work and your coworker's kind of got his head down, just being quiet, kind of distant. I don't know if you've experienced, I've experienced this. What if you went up and just said, "Hey, you look a little down. Are you okay? Can I pray with you?" What if you saw somebody on the side of the road, and I know I'm guilty of it just as much as you, but you see somebody on the road that's really, really stuck, and you lend a helping hand. One way or another, offer a cell phone. Your friend comes to you and says, "I'm struggling. I just can't go to church today. I just can't do it." Are you willing to say, "Come with me. I'll pick you up. I'll take you. Let's go to the throne of grace together." And I'm not trying to pick on Matt here, but Matt came along with me today. I'm glad that he's here with me. Because I said that. I said, "Let's go to the throne of grace together, because I need it just as much as everyone else in here." That's the type of love he's talking about. He's talking about a love that transcends all understanding, a love that is willing to go be above and beyond of yourself, if you can. But more than that, just as much as you love your own self, it also has a double standard. There's also a correlation here as well. There's a synergy here. You also have to love yourself. You also have to take the time to rest and to draw near to God and to find that rest in God. And Bruce Almighty, we find, he finds pretty much everything that he was looking for all along was right in front of him. It's right under his nose. It was like the sunglasses that you say, where are they? Oh, they're on top of your head. Oh, they're right in front of you. The people that you interact with day in and day out. The type of people that would lend you their truck, you know, so you can drive. I've been blessed with that. Just think about that. Fear God, revere God, and follow His commandments. To love God with everything you have, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Solomon says, this is the end of it all. This is the end of the matter. You don't have to study anymore. Here's the meaning. Here's the thing that I wish, if I could go back and I could do anything over again, it would be this very point. And Jesus says, the law and the prophets hang on these. Everything hangs on these. Fear God and follow His commandments. It's not a death sentence. I promise. This week, let us remember what truly matters in the world isn't something to be gained. It's something to partake of together. That is God's love.